Welcome to Voice Notes from the Lab, a brand new podcast from the very same people that developed your film at Jack's Lab. A chance for us to get together and chat about all things photography, hosted by me, Jack. Rosie, say hi.
Hi.
and Jack, the other Jack, say hi.
Hi, the other Jack.
So this first episode really is just a chance for us to talk a bit about what the podcast is and introduce it and introduce ourselves along with it. So, yeah, really, the point of the podcast is we found ourselves naturally working together, just chatting about all kinds of shit on a daily basis about film and photography and the industry itself. And figured that actually maybe that would make a pretty good, interesting podcast. So we all work together at the lab in Bristol. And I suppose, yeah, our aim for the podcast is for it to be a bit of a platform and a place to share our experience and knowledge and not to gatekeep these things from people within the industry, from the community itself, but also as an opportunity for us to learn from other interesting people from within the industry who, you know, we're planning on getting various different people in to chat with us and to learn from each other and you and any listeners, our peers. We don't profess to know it all, but we'll tell you straight from the perspective of running a film lab, which hopefully is quite an interesting perspective for people.
If you like shooting film.
If you like shooting film, yeah. I think that's probably an important thing to add about the podcast, isn't it? In that whilst we are from a film lab, it's not going to be something that is just about film. It's all about inclusivity and, you know, photography. It will probably lean fairly heavily, I suppose, organically towards film, given that we all shoot film and we all work in a lab, but we also love our digital cameras and they have been, you know, more than useful tools in our photography journey and in general kind of helping us to understand the basics of photography and helping us to use our film cameras at the same time. Don't you reckon?
Absolutely. 100%. I think a lot of us probably started that way. I definitely shot digital for years and was intrigued by film. And then, yeah, I mean, I mainly shoot film, probably most of us, to be honest, but yeah, digicameras have a huge place in this space. Just because we all shoot film, digicameras are great.
Yeah, I think we've got the first few episodes planned in a sense of what we want to talk about. And I guess from an episode to episode point of view, it's not so much going to be too current affairs-y. But, it is an opportunity for us to talk about stuff going on in the film industry because it is ever changing and ever growing. You know, it's still we're in the midst of this resurgence, but there are plenty of things going on in the industry and in the community that points to, you know, and these are things we'll get to in, probably in the next episode, to be honest, in the next couple of episodes, things we'll get to. But, you know, there's plenty of action and plenty of activity going on in the industry that gives us hope and positive feelings towards this industry just getting stronger and stronger and growing. So I think the next good thing for us to do is to talk about ourselves a little bit, because I think from the from the lab side of things, you know, not enough. People don't really know us enough, I don't think. So I think it would be good for people to get a better idea of who works at the lab, who's developing their film, and who's chatting shit on the podcast. we're probably do this from more of a conversational point of view rather than each taking on our own monologues to talk about ourselves, because that's just feels a bit weird. So
I didn't prepare a monologue, so that'd be great.
No, I'm glad you didn't prepare a monologue.
Drama school.
But maybe Jack, do you want to maybe tell us a bit about how you got started shooting film or photography in general?
So I
I guess I've always had like an interest. I think we all say that. We've always had an interest, but I feel like I've always had an interest in photography. I think I remember years and years and years ago, I'm going to say I was probably like 8, my uncle gave me what I can only assume was one of the first digital cameras I've ever seen. It was massive. And I'm like, I really want to try and find one again. I mean, it was huge, tiny, tiny screen and just like this huge camera. And from like that age, that really got me into just like, just going out and taking pictures. And I'd find myself just like in the middle of summer, just like I'd have it and I'd just be taking pictures of random stuff.
Like you do now.
Like I do now, exactly. Yeah. But it was very random, you know. It would just be things like, it'd just be silly stuff like, oh, the bricks look cool there. Or like, oh, I like the, I'd take pictures of like stones and like patios and things. And it was really random. And I still think that's random. It's not stuff I take pictures of now, but I think from early on, I was just really interested by that. And I kind of just held on to that for a while. And then at A-level, I took photography. And then, yeah, it kind of just, that's where it started really. And then I didn't do any further education in it, but I've always had a camera since then and always played around and stuff. But yeah, I'd say, yeah, around that time within my A-level, they didn't offer any films sort of based stuff, but I was very interested in it. I'm not sure where that interest came from because I was the only one in the class that was interested in it at all. And it was particularly hard, like no, you know, it was hard to find someone to develop that film. It was hard to, it was very much like, I'll take it to Boots and they'll send it off and get back to me in 2 weeks. But I was intrigued by it. And I think maybe it was just the idea of not having it there. And then maybe it was, I've always quite liked some old, you know, vintagey kind of things. I'd collect records and stupid things like that. And it's very like, I think that's probably maybe what intrigued me more. Yeah. And then it just kind of, that's where it happened. The downward spiral.
The downward spiral of your bank account.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say the opposite. And obviously like absolutely love film, but you need money there to shoot it. And, you know, not to say that you have to spend a lot of money on cameras and stuff like that. We've had this conversation. I'm sure we will in future, but, you know, it's not always the cameras that cost a lot. It's, you know, getting the film and whatever else. But yeah, I think it just spun off from there really. And very much as we sort of mentioned, still shoot digital. Most of the stuff I have done is digital and obviously work basis. 90% of the time it's digital anyway, but film, there's just something about it. Absolutely love it. And I think, you know, working in the industry, getting to shoot it all the time, it just, yeah, everything about it. You know, even just going into the fridge to get my little Tupperware out that's got all my film in it. I just love it. And it's just, I don't know.
Do you think there's an element when you were a kid, when you were saying about, you know, you're just shooting random shit that's, you know, bricks or whatever. Do you think there's an element of that, that even like subconsciously as a kid, it's, you're kind of, A, you're learning something new, but B, it's a large part of it is actually just enjoying the sort of the methodology, like the process of actually doing it and not so much thinking too much about the subject.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a big part of it, very much because, you know, a lot of stuff that I shoot now is also random shit. I mean, you know, we go out and we do photo walks and you know, we do all that sort of stuff together, and it's still random stuff. And I think there's, yeah, I think there's an element maybe, like you said, of like the methodology of it. It's not necessarily that I'm thinking, oh, this is amazing or that's amazing, but it's I don't know, something weirdly, oddly comforting about it, I think. Yeah. I just enjoy it. I just sort of, I just get myself into that zone. And it's like, yeah, even now we go out and we go, right, we've got a photo walk. We're not taking anything particular, but we're going and we're going to walk from here to here.
Yeah.
And you just see things that intrigue you, I think, along the way. And I think there's just something about that just, it's just, I don't know, it's cool. It's a cool little hobby in that sense. And yeah, maybe, yeah, I probably just picked that up from a young age and was like, this is interesting. I wouldn't say I was a compositional genius at the age of 8. Well, some people.
Some
maybe.
People, I suppose.
But yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's an odd one to, yeah, I've never really thought about it in general, but actually, yeah, it's probably just one of those things I could get my mind stuck into it and just sort of, yeah, it was cool. And I still like doing it, do the same thing now, to be honest. But yeah, that's all where it came from.
What about you, Rosie? What's your origin story?
I think much in the same, like I had like little digi cameras around the house as a kid and like be taken to like, you know, grandparents' house and stuff and just run around in the back garden taking photos of every little intricate little bit and making it look fucking massive. Yeah. But then it was much more that I didn't want to stay in school after GCSEs, didn't want to do A-levels, so found, like, I was already interested in photography, liked doing art at school, but didn't necessarily want to stay and do that, so found a course in, like, the town over that did photography and specifically had a dark room, because I was just very, like, completely fascinated by the dark room side of it, like, instead of, doing it digitally, just making, your photographs from light, taking it into this weird little dark room, devving it, printing it, and then, much more learning the technical side of how to shoot it and enjoy shooting it from messing around with that.
It's interesting that you went, like, it's easy to be like you said, Jack, you know, oh, the cliche thing of, like, oh, I've had a camera since I was 8 years old. But I think it's interesting that we've all got, well, everyone probably is, the paths are different. And although it might have started from picking up a camera at a certain age, we've gone, you know, like you've sought out kind of an educational side of it, like, you know, not through like sort of orthodox education necessarily, but like, you know, a course locally or like someone that's teaching it kind of rather than, I'm sure there's an element of self-taughtness about it, but like you've actively seeked out something where someone can show you.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I wanted to go freelance at 16. I'm sure you do. Just wanted to learn that side of it. And then it's the side that's mostly stuck. And backed up with digital where needed money or like just practice mostly.
And I think that's an important sort of thing to note is, you know, like we keep touching on, I think it is important within this, is it's good to have that digital side, because when you are at a point where maybe you can't afford to shoot as much film, especially now, like we know it's expensive, like you do still have that camera to keep practicing and to keep shooting and to do the same thing, really. You know, you can still limit yourself on your digital. I think film's great because you can shoot, you know, 36 frames or 12 or whatever you're shooting on, and it kind of limits you and you think it takes you longer, and sort of like it makes you think more, and I think that's fine, like that's great, but you can still do that with a digital camera. And I think it's important to still have that aspect, like, you're very much interested in film, but it's good to have that digital side still, because I think it's nice to be able to still play around and have fun with it, and actually the stuff you can create still is amazing.
I think it's cool though that, you know, like, obviously, I mean, for anyone listening who isn't aware, there's a, you know, doesn't come across because I'm incredibly young at heart, but like there is a fairly significant age gap between well, you two and me of about like what, 10? Yeah, I'm saying 10 years.
10.
Not far old enough to be our father.
10 or 13 years. But I still think it's interesting how like your first cameras were digital, albeit like, you know, shitty little digital point shoots or whatever, but, you know, from a digital aspect, but you still sort of found your way into film.
It definitely started with like little disposables that I was given as a kid.
Okay, cool.
But like looking back at the
Okay.
But like, because I was like clearing some stuff out of my dad's house, and like I found like old packets, and I was like, oh, I probably don't need them. And looking through, and I was like, oh, actually, they're kind of cool. But they're all like, I don't think it excited much interest in me, a disposable, as a kid, because like you use it, you sort of understand it, but like Chad said, you give it to Boots, it comes back in 2 weeks, you then look through it and you vaguely remember. But like with the digital and like you're seeing it and stuff, it's like how little kids are fascinated with iPhones and the photos that they take now.
I think you can, you know, with the digital, you've got, because you're getting that instant result and you've got settings you can input and change and stuff, you can learn, and it's there is such valuable. We're totally burning through our next episode subject of film and digital, but I think it's an interesting subject because of how we sort of all got into photography. But, you know, from a digital side of things, in that respect, as a kid, getting used to stuff, you can learn. What can you really learn from using a disposable other than not to use a disposable again?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely remember having maybe like a Thomas the Tank 35mm reloadable camera when I was young. Like, I remember that, but I don't remember anything about it. I don't remember shooting it. I don't remember... I probably never just ended up getting the film developed. It was probably essentially a toy camera to me, and therefore... Then there was no, I think as a kid, you're quite impatient. I was anyway. And I feel like
as a kid.
Well, yes. And now as well, but I can wait that slight bit longer for my film now, whereas definitely as a kid, I feel like the digital side of things
is a slight bit longer. You've got a job in a film lab.
Slight bit longer. That's what I said. Slightly longer than shooting on digital.
I can wait 20 minutes.
24 hours is way too long.
I won't do the Kafanol that takes me half an hour at home just so I can see it all happen in front of me. No, I'll just
Absolutely. But no, like, you know, there's definitely I think as a child having a film camera, I think it's probably quite tough because having to wait that long, whereas with, like you said, kids these days shoot on an iPhone, so it's there, it's instant, it's done. And I think that was probably, that's maybe the side as a much younger child that we maybe preferred the digital side, which I think probably brings us back over to Jack and how he got into photography, because being that slight bit older, probably started the other way, probably had a film camera. I mean, maybe not, but I'm assuming you remember film better than we do as a child.
Yeah, well, no, it's funny because I was going to say, like, when growing up, albeit using disposables or having film cameras around, you know, digital existed. And so you knew that there was different. You knew that there was this instant result from a digital camera. You knew that that was like that was a thing.
Was it like 0.3 megapixels?
Yeah, probably. Well, you tell me, what was your first digital camera? Was it what? Like, it probably was like a
1.2.
Yeah.
Coolpix.
But yeah, like me growing up, there was it didn't exist. So instant photos existed in one way only, and that was a Polaroid. So there was no like. Fair, you are old. So there was no. It wasn't like I know different, and I know that there's a way to get something quicker. I remember having these like little sort of plastic square Super Snaps cameras that I take on holiday, and on the top of them you had like basically like you put a roll of film in, and on the top you had these like plastic squares that folded up, and it was literally just it was really cheap plastic square. You had one at the front and then a smaller one at the back, and that was your viewfinder.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, relatively effective. I don't know why it existed. You could have literally just had a hole through the camera and that would have done the job. Probably a shit ton of light leaks if you just had a big hole through the camera. But, you know, that was really kind of my first introduction to shooting on film. But I didn't really know what it was, and I didn't really, you know, there was no sort of kind of romance to the methods or the process or anything. It was just taking pictures, you know, family photos, holiday snaps and that kind of stuff. I was aware, and I kind of wish I'd have been more aware, but the house I grew up in, my dad had a dark room in the basement, just a really tiny, tiny little room that was like, it was just really fucking small.
That's right, it's audio format.
Yeah, I was like, it's about the size of this bit of the lab, and no one's got a clue what I'm talking about. I was aware that my dad was interested in photography, and he had a bunch of cameras, none of them worked. Well, he had one camera that worked, which was like a Shinon, I think, like an old Shinon SLR that he used and took a lot of sort of photos of me and my little brother growing up. And then he had a bunch of other cameras, which I've now got some of, you know, just not working cameras, like shelf cameras that just looked sick. So I was kind of aware that he had this interest in photography, but it was never really particularly anything that was like shared so much, not at least like not at that age. So really kind of, yeah, my first introduction is these shitty plastic cameras with the flip-up squares that we'd shoot on holiday. And then, you know, yeah, we would get back from holiday and my mum would take them all in to Boots or Snappy Snaps or whatever. Ooh, Snappy Snaps. and, you know, like a few days later or a week later, she'd go and pick up the photos and we'd all have a look through them. And that was it. So I didn't, I didn't know any different because it didn't exist.
Yeah.
We'd have these photos and we'd probably flip through them once or twice. And then they would go into a box or a trunk, which I've now got, which I really want to go through, but it's incredibly overwhelming amount of photos in there.
I've seen the size of it. If that's full, then that's going to take you a while.
Yeah. It's full. of prints and negs and, yeah, all sorts from childhood and
which is cool, end. Though.
It's and cool.
You probably have a newfound appreciation. Or, well, more appreciation than maybe some other people. Other people might go through that and go, it's just family photos. Where, I don't know, part of me thinks, like, that's cool. The negs are in here. Like, especially, like, at the lab, you can rescan those and get those up to looking way better than the prints probably do now.
Yeah, I've thought about it, you know, and I should really. It would be nice, you know, particularly as like when my parents died, it was a bit of a God, do I keep them? If I keep them, I'm gonna have to scan them at some point. But how can you not keep them? How can you get rid of something like that? It's either going to stay in the trunk or it's going to go into a box and live in the loft or something. But yeah, that's you know, my childhood and my little brother's childhood is documented in that trunk, which is pretty cool. It's not living on a hard drive somewhere that ultimately, you know, how many of us, unless it's work, how many of us are going back and looking over our hard drives and our, you know, digital archives of photos? Probably not all that many of us, or not all that often.
No.
You know, I'd say the only way that we're doing that is when the pictures we're taking on our phones is when our phones give us notifications of, you know, memories from last year.
Yeah.
You go, oh yeah, look what I was doing this time last year. My interest in photography kind of peaked and troughed really throughout childhood. There was plenty of periods where I didn't really have much of an interest in it. And then when I think I got to an age where I realised that it was an interest of my dad's, and also a couple of my older brothers had an interest in it, then I got more interested in it. But that was probably then at a point where, yeah, it wasn't really about film, it was about digital. And like, I didn't have my first my first film camera probably till I was about 18. And I bought myself, I had my dad's old Nikon, which I'd used very briefly when I'd chosen to do I think it was like a half GCSE in film photography when I was at sixth form. After I finished that, it didn't inspire anything in me. I didn't then spend the next few years going, oh, this is amazing, I want to continue this. I kind of did it, thought it was cool and fun, and then didn't really do anything else with it afterwards. And then, yeah, later down the line, when I was like 18, 19, bought myself a Canon AE-1. And then pretty much from there onwards, which is about 20 years now.
You know, I did the math while you were talking.
Please don't do the maths. That pretty much stirred it back up in me again. And then pretty much ever since then, it's a horrendously expensive love affair with film photography. And, you know, not to mention, I ended up becoming a professional photographer and that being my work, which is probably fairly important to my love and hate of it in equal measure.
Yeah.
In some degree.
Fair.
So, yeah, that's me, really. That's sort of where my sort of interest in photography came from. And obviously, you know, I'm sure over the next, you know, hundreds of episodes that we hopefully do with this podcast, we'll all delve into our pasts and talk about where various loves of photography and our inspirations came from. But in a nutshell, that's kind of where we are. Maybe it's interesting for people to, I know a little bit of history about the lab and how the lab started and how we all ended up here. The bulk of the story's on the About page on the website, which I assume everyone has already read. But if you haven't,
you can find it on the website.
You can find it on the website.
We strongly suggest you go there.
And if you'd like to read along with me as I take you through it now. Ultimately, lab started, just over 2 years ago, October 2021, we opened properly. But that January 2021, it was just a bit of a half-assed idea out of lockdown, really. I'd moved to Bristol at the end of the first lockdown. I was shooting bits and bobs of film. I'd always been developing my own black and white at home, but taking colour into labs. And COVID came, labs closed. I was still shooting the odd bit, just kind of personal stuff, really, family snaps, that kind of stuff. But I didn't have anywhere to take it to get developed. So I bought myself some chemistry and got completely ripped off by buying Cine Steel's temperature control gauge, which is essentially just a fucking sous vide
that you can get for 40 quid
off Amazon. I think I paid 100 quid for Cine Steel's thing. But, you know, fair play, good business. And yeah, just started developing my own colour film at home. I was just not getting any work. At this point, I was still working for the creative agency that I worked for before moving to Bristol, because everyone was working from home. So I didn't necessarily need to do something to like make my money or whatever. But I was buying all this chemistry and I wasn't using it to its full efficiency. So Esther, my wife, was like, well, why don't you offer it out to like your friends or whoever, and you do their film as well, and they can, you know, they can swing you a bit of money to like cover the costs of the chemistry and stuff. So I started doing that, and then a little bit, you know, a few weeks later down the line, friends of friends are going, I've got a friend, do you mind if they chuck their role in as well? I'm like, yeah, fine, might as well. And then I'm getting to a point where I've got more rolls of film with me from various people than I can actually develop with the amount of chemistry I'd bought. So I'm then having to buy more chemistry to develop the rolls of film I've got. And I thought, yeah, and I'm now like, this is now just...
Have a lab.
Yeah, now kind of... So I started doing it. Just started offering it out to people locally, people that I knew sort of elsewhere. Just started doing it from home in batches. I'd do like a week's worth of developing and scanning a month. I think I did that for like the first 3 or 4 or 5 months maybe of 2021. It was an absolute nightmare. It was an absolute pain in the ass because I would spend probably 2 to 3 days developing all of the film by hand in pots and tanks in my kitchen. In my new house.
It was in your kitchen.
In my kitchen.
I was getting like Breaking Bad vibes. I pictured you in your RV.
In an old RV, yeah, that'd be amazing. Just getting completely high. Just
the naked fumes. In your apron.
Yeah, naked, apron.
Everyone's film developed.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. The images. In the kitchen. And then I'm scanning everything on my, what did I have then? I think I had like an Epson V600, which is all right. But, you know, flatbed scanners take time, shitload of time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's taken me ages. I'd probably spend 3 or 4 evenings each week scanning through people's film until I started. I then quickly moved from that into scanning on my digital SLR and building a system there, which is just obviously much quicker. From there, my cousin Max, we had a conversation about whether I was interested in making it more than what it currently was, and spoke to Esther about it and thought, yeah, I guess maybe there's an opportunity here to do something. There's, you know, there was a lab in Bristol, like a couple of them. You know, there are other indie labs across the country. you know, a lot of them in London charging, you know, an absolute shit ton of money. But, you know, they are experts at what they do and have been doing it for decades. So I just felt like, yeah, there was a bit of a gap, really. Not necessarily to do something entirely different or to do something that no one else is doing, but just to do kind of, something to keep me out of trouble, really. But it just felt like a good opportunity. My cousin offered, he works in an industry where they help small businesses set up. And it just seemed like a cool opportunity. So we did it. And then, set up in Bristol. We're still in the same pokey little unit that we started in. But it's served us well. We probably need to get out of here fairly soon. I hope my landlord's not listening to this.
I mean, it's a good place to record a podcast, though, we found out.
It's not a bad place to record a podcast. That's pretty much how it got started, really. And then, Rosie, what, you joined us...
April 2022.
Yeah. How did that happen,
Rosie? Well, Jack over here on the other side.
Hi.
Went to one of the photo lab events. Classic Jack Torhurst started Chirps in. And we've been friends for a little while. And you messaged me, asked me if I had any film that I needed to be developed. And I was like, yeah, I do actually. And he was like, I've got a lab I want to take you to. Bedminster, walked down, shot some film on the way down here, a little talk and catch up. And he was like, I'm going to pepper in that. I think you should get a job there. And I was like, oh, amazing.
Was this because you wanted, you were looking for another job, or is this purely just selfish from Jack's point of view? He wanted you to get a job in the lab so that you could get some discount.
Oh no, I've been heavily into hospitality for years and really needed to not be in hospitality anymore.
Okay, okay.
Also huge interest, right? I mean, yes. It was an ideal job for you.
Yeah.
That's what I got from it, which is, you know, I don't, just to get this clear, I'm not a recruitment agency. I don't take you to these places to get you jobs. Although it works. Yeah. If you need a job, let me know.
I don't just redesign my friends' lifestyles to suit my habits.
Yeah, that's right. If anyone knows anyone in the coffee industry, lovely to meet you.
That'd be great.
It was more just, big interest in photography and, where I'd prefer to be. And asked for a job. And you said that you'd probably start looking for someone soon. Little post on Instagram that I responded to later. And
soon came quick.
Yeah. 2 days a week to 3 days a week to five.
So you never leave it.
Open that one day extra just so I can get full time.
That's pretty much how it went, really.
Yeah.
And then when was it? When did you join us? Was it that same year?
Yeah, but same year.
But it was towards the end of the year, wasn't it?
Towards the end.
2022.
Yeah, same year, I'm pretty certain, but it was very much just helping out, really, wasn't it? One day a week.
Just needed someone to come in and smash black and white.
I developed my black and white film at home in Caffinol, something that still hugely interests me, so maybe that's something that will pop up in a future episode, but... I by no means had a hell of a lot of experience in developing black and white, but enough that Jack needed a bit of help and the guys at the lab needed help. So he just asked me if I wanted to do one day a week as and when. And similar to Rosie, he slowly just got his slimy little hands on us and dragged us in further and further, which is a pleasure, I will add. But also, it just sort of grew from there, really. And then, we just sort of became a full-time member, and I think from it we've become really good friends and actually do enjoy doing these things, and so I think it's kind of where the podcast was born, though, right? Because 100%. Like you said at the beginning, we talk a lot of shit, but it's helpful to some people, or at least we think it is, it's beautiful. Beautiful place to begin.
There'll be some snippets.
Something somewhere might be handy to someone.
I think, the story of how and why we're all here is part of what is, I think it is interesting to people. But you know, equally, it's just interesting. It's interesting for us as well, and it's fun. And like, it was important to me to build a business that, well, and it's easier for me, to be quite frank, to have people to work with my friends, and to you know, and it, you know, it's like, well, it doesn't, it feels less like work when you're working with good people that you get on with and that become friends, you know. Obviously, I didn't know either of you that well or at all before being here, but yeah, it's quickly, you know, formed friendships, which is cool. And it means we can do fun stuff like this and talk about ourselves for what's been, 45 odd minutes now. It's fun, we'll probably cut that down a bit.
We're barely going to be able to fill 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Said Jack, who forgets that we speak non-stop.
Well, is this not the whole, we don't have to go on. We should probably like do a podcast or something. Maybe people would listen to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it really. I think, you know, yeah, the point of this first episode really was just a bit of a get to know us, and get an idea of, what you can expect from the podcast. Next episode, we're going to delve a little bit further into, film. I put film versus digital, but it's not really film versus digital. It's just talking about film and digital, I suppose, really, and their relevance, and I guess, yeah, just how we feel about their coexisting nature of the two of them. But I think it's an interesting subject, and it's, you know, they always get pitted against each other,
yeah.
And obviously we all have our own sort of thoughts and opinions on that. So yeah, that's it from us, I think, for our first episode. Please, if you feel like it already, great. But yeah, if you want to listen to a few episodes before you leave us a review, then that makes sense. But if you do want to leave us a review, it helps massively with us reaching a wider audience, and also getting to know what you guys like or dislike about the podcast, and any suggestions you might have had. Probably not. Dislike it will be probably, you guys went
just,
on.
Just
for
stop
a
listening.
Bit. Yeah.
Just stop listening.
Just press pause and leave it there.
You can subscribe to the podcast via Substack. You can also subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or I think pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. And don't forget to tell all your friends, all your photography buddies and all that. And yeah, we will see you in episode 2.